Yep.
Another
So this
day.
is a sound check with no sound from Ashley's mic because, once again, guys, she has lost her voice.
Yeah. Another day, another crusty voice. You know, what are you going to do?
I don't know what's happening with you.
I think my body hates me.
It sounds like it.
It does. I feel like 90% of our episodes lately have sounded like this or worse. So, you know, might as well just keep the trend going.
Yeah. I mean, good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Those vocals, you need to do those like massage things they do in the vocals.
I just need to not be a teacher, apparently, because
I guess so.
In the summer, I did not sound like this. Summer episodes, we were good.
Very good point.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I gotta go. It's
the classroom.
It's gotta be teacher.
What if you have
talk?
Like black mold in your classroom that's doing it too? You don't even realize it.
Imagine.
Kristen does.
Wait, what?
Yes. Kristen has mold in her classroom and has reported it every single year, and they've done nothing about it.
I just think we all need to go on strike. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's getting beyond ridiculous.
This is getting ridiculous. And the thing is even if I still sounded like this Monday morning, I would go to work. Because I'm not doing no goddamn sub work.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I've had a wasp in my room every single day this week, and the maintenance man has come and killed them from across the room by spraying wasp spray a mile long in my room, killing it and leaving all the wasp spray residue all over our floor. A kid literally slipped and fell in the wasp spray.
Yeah, I just really think we need to just go on strike or something. These conditions are not ideal.
0 out of 10.
Would not recommend.
Half a star.
Like, not even a half. If I could give you stars just to take them away, I would do that.
Yeah.
I would, because this is just ridiculous.
It's something.
It is. Voiceless.
I'm with somebody special.
And you're here with us on Teachers Who Talk Crime
Podcast. That was hard for you, wasn't it?
That was the worst one I think I've ever done. I'm so ashamed of myself.
Well, James says that's what I do. Like my dad. He goes, "You know how I know your dad doesn't know what to say?" He'll go, "Well," and get really high pitched. I'm like, "Well, you know, I do that too."
That's too funny.
Yeah. So we are recording at 11:30 my time and 12:30 Ashley's time, p.m. a.m. for her.
It's 11:22.
Oh. It's 10:30 here. Okay. But y'all know I live and work on two different time zones, and my computer is still on my work time zone. But so we're not gonna have a ton of like banter. But me and Mary, who is 9 months pregnant,
whoop whoop,
yep, just watched a very very emotional movie, and I am very very shocked that she did not boohoo, like beyond shocked. But we both sat up when it ended, and we both had one tear just hanging on by a thread in the corner of our eye. And she looked at me. She goes, "That was very emotional."
What movie did you watch?
So we watched Redeeming Love.
What are that?
Okay, so it is a movie based off of a novel, and me and my grandmother have read the novel. Okay. I've read it 3 times, and my grandmother's read it twice. It's amazing. It is Christian fiction, but it is very graphic, very detailed, and it's based off, not like, I mean, it's just like a similar story to the Bible where the man marries the prostitute.
Okay.
Because God tells him that that's his wife.
Yeah.
So they made a movie, and let me tell you, this movie is so emotional. Like, the trauma that this girl goes through. And it is just like, So if you need a cry, if you know life just, if you just know you would feel better if you had a good cry, go watch Redeeming Love on Amazon.
Okay. You know what that movie is for me? If I really need a cry, watch A Star Is Born.
You do. That's your good cry movie.
I haven't watched that movie in a very long time.
Didn't you have a need to cry?
I haven't, you know.
Yeah.
My life has been really great.
So I'm gonna write it in the comments that you need to go watch Redeeming Love, guys, if you need a good cry. If your life is dandy, don't go do this to yourself.
Dang.
Don't go do this to yourself.
All right, cool, bet.
Yeah.
Solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, God. It's going to be a lot of that.
I'm trying to, like, keep it together, and it's, like, this disgusting, like, I don't know what this is. Like, I don't know if I need to go to the doctor. Like, I don't know. I feel like these colds are just hitting different.
So I'll try to, like, stop what I'm saying when you cough, and that way it can clip together better.
I'm going to do my best to just not even, I'm going to try and hold it deep down. But, like, I tried that in Target today, and I had, like, a coughing fit. And the guy was like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. So.
Yeah. I don't smoke 10 packs a day. I promise.
No, I don't. I just teach children of America.
Yes.
So I guess we'll get into our estudiante estrella.
It was extra deep today.
Yeah, that joint. It almost got stuck there. It almost got stuck there.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I can get this jingle out today. You might have to take
I can take this. Yeah, I get to take this today?
I think you're going to take it today because.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not going to be able to do it justice, you know? It's going to be real bad if I do it
this
today.
This is a big honor, guys.
You know? Okay. It's a big thing, you know? All right. Well, our estudiante estrella is Mrs. Silverio. Because it's like Silver EO.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Silverio. Silverio. Yeah, I'm going to say Mrs. Yeah. Silverio. Oh my God. Oh no. Oh, hold on. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I pulled out this cord in the headphones. Oh, God. Anyway, Mrs. Silverio, and her review is titled Current Obsession. And it reads, oh, it's a 5-star. Yeah. It says, as a teacher, there are times I find myself wondering if I'm the only one that thinks a certain way. And then I find this podcast and I'm in the car going exactly whenever these ladies say something I can completely agree with, which is often. This podcast is such a great combination of teacher talk and crime. Honestly, the best thing I never knew I needed.
Hey,
Miss Silveria.
That she could be a song. Her name is like very it could be in like a Bad Bunny song.
It could be
gives
like
those That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Okay. But yeah, Miss Silverio. Mrs. Silverio, my bad. I just always go by Miss, you know. Even the teachers that work at my school that are married, I still call them Miss. It just, I don't know.
I don't think I'd separate them either.
Yeah. Even though my boss always puts Mrs. Brandt in my email. And I'm like, I'm not her.
No, you're mistaken.
But yeah, like it's just M-I-S-S, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I do M-S.
Yeah, I don't know why I like M-I-S-S. I don't know. It's like, I don't know.
I think that's like if I were write Miss Casey Ray.
Like a little girl?
Little Miss. Yeah, like Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah, I see that. Uh-huh. I see that for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to do the jingle, Brooke. I'm waiting for it. It's
okay,
gonna be great.
Oh, God. Here we go.
You got it. Get it, girl. Get it, girl.
Thank you so much for your review. This gold star's for you. Bing.
Yes, girl.
I did not do that justice at all. Mary's cracking up.
You did better than I would have done, Brooke.
She said it was good until the bing.
Yeah, I thought the bing was it. I thought the bing was banging.
I thought that was the only part I nailed. Yeah, you know. I thought that was the only part I got right.
That was good. I liked it. Picasso.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Mary, you want to come hit them with the
Yeah, since we just trading lines today.
I know, we're just trading lines today. So I am here with Mary Ray. She wobbling off that couch, y'all. She
wobble,
got it.
Baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble.
Mama got it. Here she comes, here.
Here comes Mary. Here comes Mary. Here comes Mary. Mary. Mary.
Hit him with it, Mary.
What do I say?
Come on.
What?
Let's sit down.
Oh. Sit down. Shut up. The murder is... Let me read it.
She is pregnant, everyone. She is pregnant, okay? Pregnant brain is real.
The murder is about to begin.
Yes.
Okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm, I'm ready.
Sit down. Shut up. The murder is about to begin.
Ahora.
Bing.
You did good.
That was real good. I liked it.
So it was literally funny because, like, we have to do that to Casey, where, like, Mary will be like, Casey, tell BB about so-and-so. And Casey will look at her mama and she'll whisper it and then she'll repeat it to me. And so I literally was doing exactly what we do to Casey to Mary.
That's too funny. So look at it coming full circle.
I know.
What up, y'all? Welcome back. It's Teachers Talk Crime, and y'all already know what it is. We about to be in here talking about murder, suicide, dating violence, domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. So, y'all already know what it is. Don't sit here and act like y'all don't. We about to get into it. So if you're not ready, I'm gonna need you to leave. All right, then.
Okay. So I have brought you guys a case that should have been a happy hour case. This is not the Toenail Moon case. The Toenail Moon case is not ready yet, but this could have been the Toenail Moon case. So it does involve a teacher, and it is slightly different content than the normal episodes. But, you know, who doesn't like a little switcheroo every now and then?
Yes, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, we switched up the jingle. We switched up the sit down, shut up. We're just going to do a whole 360 here.
We really just mixing things up this mm-hmm. lesson. I like that. I like that. Keeping them on their toes, you know?
Yeah. Well, this last name is going to keep you on your toes. Let me tell you, it's a last name you're never going to forget.
Ooh, is it like Dinkleberry?
Oh, you know, this is the case of Nancy Seaman. Everyone pause for laughter.
You know, I was going to say like Dick. I was.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I was trying to think of something. But
well,
yeah.
It's spelled C-S-E-A man. How else could we pronounce that? Seaman.
Seaman.
Which sounds like?
Seaman.
Seaman.
Yeah. But ain't Seaman the real?
S-E-M-O-N, right?
I thought it was E. I thought it was S-E-M-E-N.
Oh.
Like,
I don't know. Please don't comment how to spell semen in our comments.
Yeah, don't do that. Mm-mm. They going to take us off the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, they would.
And we just some teachers who talk, right?
Podcast. Yeah. So this is the case of Nancy Seaman. And I wrote, what an unfortunate last name.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I mean... Because it's an unfortunate last name in general, but she's also a fourth grade teacher in Michigan at Longacre Elementary School. So kids.
Wait. You said what was the name of the school?
Longacre Elementary School.
Seaman Longacre. Yeah. Or acre.
Acre.
Acre, like 100-acre wood.
Yeah.
100-acre wood.
But can you just imagine her fourth graders, Miss Seaman, Miss Seaman, Miss Seaman.
Oh, I would have, like, call me Miss S, man.
Yep. Miss, I would have to change it.
Miss yeah. S. Just call me mm-hmm. Miss S. That's it.
Yeah. So Nancy Seaman was a teacher, but this is not what she was best known for because she made headlines in 2004 when she murdered her husband with a hatchet in their home.
Oh, wow. Did they have any kids?
Yes, they did.
Dang. She left them alone, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. When she went on trial in 2005, she claimed self-defense and made many claims of long-term abuse from her husband. The prosecutors, however, disagreed with these claims and said that they believed the murder was premeditated. So okay. Let's get into Nancy Seaman. So, Nancy wasn't always walking around with this unfortunate last name. She was Nancy Ann Donofrio. Donofrio.
Donofrio.
Yeah. Very, like, Italian.
You know, because before I was a Brant, I was a Roach.
Yeah.
And I, like, could not wait for the day that I got married so I wouldn't have to be a Roach no more. But I feel like if I was going from Donofrio to Seaman, I would be like, I'm going to just
keep Donofrio. I'm
going to keep my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I love you, Seaman. I love you.
I do love your Seaman.
No, I meant him Seaman, not him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So James and I get into this argument a lot because my last name will be Ham if and when he ever proposes and we get married.
Mm-hmm.
My last name would be Ham, and I told him I will legally take his last name.
Mm.
But obviously, as teachers, we then have to go through a whole thing to get our email changed and to get, like, schedules changed for kids and blah, blah, yeah, blah, blah. Yeah. And none of that's actually necessary, like, at work. Like, I can be Brooke Ham, but, like, keep Dozier at work. And I've told him that I want to do that because I don't want kids walking around and being like, well, she looks like a fat ham today. You know, I don't know. I just have this, like, fear of being bullied by kids.
No one's going to call you a fat ham because you're not fat.
I feel like they're going to start giving me pigs for Christmas instead of unicorns. And, like, I just don't.
I mean, maybe it'll be a cute pig. Like an anime type pig, you know?
Well.
Or a pig unicorn.
A pigacorn.
Yeah.
A pigacorn.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So I kind of see where you're coming from with the whole last name change. And I kind of see where Nancy would have, like, wanted to keep her last name. Totally agree.
Yeah.
But she was Nancy Ann Donofrio before she married and took Bob Seaman's last name. Nancy was born on May 13th, 1952, and was very smart growing up and even as an adult. She was actually her high school's valedictorian and quite popular in school.
Okay.
She graduated and met her husband, Bob Seaman, in 1972, and they dated only briefly before getting married after only 1 year of courtship.
Dang, they must have fell in love and fell hard.
Yeah.
And then she pulled out that hatchet.
Well, Momaw only knew Pawpaw, I want to say, 3 months.
Before they got married?
Yeah. Momo only knew Pawpaw for 3 months.
Oh, that is so romantical.
I know. They just don't make it like that. And they met on a blind date on Friday the 13th, Mary just said.
Oh, the most unlucky day turned into something so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I know.
My heart.
I know. Well, that love didn't exist in Nancy and Bob's relationship, though. Bob Seaman was a blue-collar man and worked at the Ford Motor Company throughout their marriage. Okay. Nancy, although very smart, could have been whatever she wanted, but she decided to be a stay-at-home mother.
Mm.
The couple had their first child in 1979, and it was a boy named Jeff. Again, a very unfortunate name right now in the Netflix series, but, you know, we're just going to be a whole case of unfortunate names today.
Jeff Seaman.
Yeah. Jeff Seaman.
Yeah.
What a name.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. I wonder if they got picked on in school.
Maybe they didn't know what Seaman was.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe at least not until, like, high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had their second child, another boy, in 1981 named Greg. It was not until after Greg was born and grown out of the toddler phase that Nancy started her career in teaching in 1995.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's back when, you know, the Miss Honey movies.
Was, yes.
You know, that's when,
Matilda.
Like, that's when I feel like my love for teaching fostered back then.
I think Miss Honey made a lot of people want to be a teacher.
Yeah. And now it's just like, okay.
We're all just Miss Trunchables.
Yeah. The biggest Miss Trunchable, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
That's my sister.
So, yeah.
I might be here for Halloween in school.
That would be a great costume.
I think I might do that because that's how I feel. Yeah.
I think I could do that too.
I feel like all teachers should just unite and go to school as Miss Trunchbull.
Yeah.
I think we should. And if you're a guy, Mr. Trunchbull, it's fine.
Mr. Trunchbull. Yep. We should do this. I want everyone to go to school and dress as Miss Trunchbulls for Halloween.
Not Miss Trunchbulls like she a Lunchable.
Trunchbull Lunchables. That would be funny.
That would be really funny. I like that.
Yeah, they should market that. Trademark. We called it right here on this date.
Yep. Maybe we could do this every year. We pick like a costume, how we feel. And all the teachers unite and dress like that. And then post them. And then we put them on our story.
Yeah. I'm going to post a picture of Miss Trunchbull on Monday and be like, if you know, you know.
Yeah. First of all, her name is Miss Trunchbull, not Trunchable.
Oh, I've always said Trunchable.
No, she's not a Lunchable.
What do you call her, Mary? What? The mean one off Matilda. Trunchbull. Like a Lunchable? Oh, she said it right.
Where did you get revived. Trunchable from?
I don't know. She's always been Miss Trunchable. I don't know. Okay, well, trademark the Trunchable Lunchable. I call it.
Hashtag Trunchable Lunchable.
Yeah, there you go.
Y'all should dress up as Miss Trunchable and make sure you have a Trunchable. I mean, a Lunchable. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
That was a good one. So anyways, back to the case. Nancy Siemens said that her and Bob had marital problems right away once married. It was not something that started years later or only one time. It started shortly after their marriage even happened, and Nancy says that the first time she was abused by Bob was during a drunken state and claims that Bob attempted to push her out of a moving car.
Oh, dang. What's wrong with you, Bob?
You know? Nancy says that the abuse did not happen every day and was random, but consistent. She also added that the abuse got worse when Bob lost his blue-collar job with Ford Motor Company. Nancy said that Bob's go-to physical abuse tactic was pushing or shoving, in her own words, is what she used. So she said like he shoved her, and then like articles said she pushed her, but her actual verbiage was shoving.
Okay.
She said, quote, Bob would shove. That's what he liked to do, shove and push against the walls. Most of my bruises were either that he would grab me by an article of clothing or an arm. He would squeeze my arm and push against the wall. Sometimes I'd get knocked down, unquote.
Wow. That's rough.
I guess I should have given a trigger warning for domestic violence.
It's cool. I'll make sure. I mean, at this time, they would already hear the disclaimer, so I'll put Ari's disclaimer in.
These many stories Nancy tells are supported by her son, Greg, along with, like, scattered in some friends. But her oldest son, Jeff, states that no abuse whatsoever ever occurred in the home.
Mm.
Greg, however, stated in court that he personally saw his dad physically and mentally abuse their mother, Nancy. Mm. This is obviously what the prosecution hoped for two sons that, you know, they kind of got pit against each other,
yep.
I guess you would say, because you literally have two people that lived under the same exact roof and had the same exact parents and had the same exact growing up. And you have one son saying this abuse happened, and you have another son saying this is all lies. This is false. This never happened.
Yeah, that's weird.
Mm-hmm. That's weird. Well, I mean, then that's something that the prosecution is just going to prey on.
Yeah.
So, again, this is what they were really hoping for, because this was a split story and this really didn't necessarily support all of what Nancy was saying.
Okay.
So, remember, a jury has to believe without reasonable doubt. And as we already see, there's some minor hiccups in this case.
Yes.
However, back to the marriage. And in 2004, the couple was talking about a divorce. As a couple. Meaning both Bob and Nancy were discussing a divorce.
Yes.
Not Bob that just wanted it, and not Nancy that just wanted it. Both of them.
Yeah.
They were not even living on the same floor of the home at this time, and they were certainly not sleeping in the same bed.
Oh, wow.
It was said that in February of the same year, Nancy actually had plans to move out of the home and into a condo, which she had said was for their son, Greg.
Hmm.
But this was not true, and Bob found out. So let's kind of, like, talk about this. So 2004, they are living on separate floors of the house, like a two-story house. Let's just say Bob is on the bottom floor, Nancy's on the top floor. They're in the same home, but basically living as roommates.
Yeah.
Discussing divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So, here is what happened. The murder of Bob Seaman. On May 10th, 2000... I know.
I'm sorry,
Bob.
I'm sorry, Bob. That was really disrespectful. I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah.
I'm a little loopy. You know, I can't.
You did not get to pick your last name.
You didn't. It was bestowed upon you.
It was.
Yeah,
on May 10th, 2004, this is a Monday, and I bring that up for a certain reason. On a Monday, Nancy said that morning an argument had started between the couple over her potentially or eventually moving out of the home into that said condo.
Mm-hmm.
She said during this argument, Bob was holding a kitchen knife in his hand and was becoming angrier by the second. She said that eventually Bob was chasing her around the kitchen and chased her into their garage of their home.
That seems just like very, like a big Michael escalation.
Myers?
But like it seems like an escalation from the things that he's used to. Like he normally pushes and shoves her, and then this one argument, he now is just like wielding a knife and like chasing her around. Like,
right.
But he never did anything like that before.
No.
So it's just like a little kind of sus to me.
It's a little weird. Yeah. It's a little weird. Yeah. So the evidence then shows that while in the garage, Nancy picked up the nearest object she could find, which was an axe, and hit her husband a minimum of 20 times with the hatchet.
Now, 20 times is a little excessive. I feel like he got a kitchen knife. You got an axe, okay? You're like a lumberjack right now.
You got a bigger weapon.
Yeah. So I feel like one, two whacks, he's on the ground, depending on where you hit him. And he's not trying to get you no more. So now.
20?
So those extra hits, that was overkill, ma'am. That was overkill. You didn't need to do that. It was not necessary.
It wasn't. Nancy, this is the best part of the story because, I was telling Mary and Leanne about this case today. Nancy, after this, being the committed teacher she was, went to work that day when no sub picked up the absence.
Even in 2004, man, even in 2004, we are really just like, you know what?
I'll go in.
You know, like even back in 2004, we are still
just murdered my husband. I'll go in work.
Yep, like that is crazy.
The youth of America needs me.
I would love to just see how she was going into that day, you know? Like,
was it normal?
Right. Like, did she
pull a small group?
Right. Like, did she say hello to every kid when they came in the classroom? Was mm-hmm. the morning work ready?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did she still, did she take a shower?
Did she eat lunch regularly with her teacher peeps?
And just have regular conversation.
Like, what if somebody was like, hey, but how's Bob today, Nancy? Oh, he's dead in the garage.
I don't think she would say that. She would be like, well, he stayed home sick today or something.
He's not feeling very well.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
so, wild. You know, murdered her husband in the morning, went to work, clocked out. Yeah.
Wow. That's, I don't know if it's dedication or maybe she was trying to provide an alibi for herself. Like, oh, I couldn't have done it. I was at work.
But we recently had, and I told you about this, we recently had a teacher that was absent, and originally a sub had picked up her day, and subs cancel all the time. And on this particular day, a sub had canceled, and we went into the classroom, and we had told our principal, and we were like, hey, so that they don't miss valuable content, we will split each one of her classes evenly or somewhat evenly among the three of us. There's three other math teachers. Yep. And he was like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. That's amazing. Like, yeah, this is wonderful. So we began splitting them up. And it really worked fine. Like, they came into my room. I honestly can't speak to everything that happened in the other math teachers' rooms, but they both said it went fine as well. And they all worked. And, you know, like, it's kind of like they worked in my room because I was somebody new to them. Like, you know, they didn't really want to act up. But they're actually a really good class. They worked. I pulled a small group. They participated in a small group. That was first period. I did the same thing with second period. I went and, like, divided her kids up evenly, did the same thing then. And I walked out third period to go and get her third period kids. And she had shown up to work because she realized no sub had shown up. And she lives an hour away. And I was like, not me. I said the fly.
Not I said a cat.
If I had put in a day and a sub did not show up, that no longer sounds like a Brooke Dozier problem.
No, it is not.
Mm-mm. Because my work is ready. Where you put those kids, there is work for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Period.
Mm-hmm. So it just kind of gave me similar vibes. This happened right when I was researching this case. And I was like,
Interesante.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's suspicious.
Yeah. It's weird how it all worked out.
Right.
So not only did Nancy go into work on Monday, Nancy also went into work on Tuesday.
What?
She's very committed to her job.
Yo. Just yeah. While he's just like decaying in the, I mean, not decaying, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like he probably, right. You know, things are starting to happen.
Yeah, the body's doing what the body does.
Yeah, it's good. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nancy was officially arrested on Wednesday of that same week after a relative called police and stated that they believed Bob was missing. So the police went to the home of Nancy and Bob to do a wellness check, and they began questioning Nancy when they did not locate Bob. The questions were necessary because they found Bob's body wrapped in a tarp with duct tape in her vehicle.
Dang, she put him in the car?
She put him in the car. I don't know what she was planning to do with him. She didn't make it that far.
But when did she put him in the car? Did she put him in the car on Wednesday? Was he in a car?
She did not take Bob to work with her.
I don't know.
Surely.
I mean, she went to work. Why not?
Bob just chilling in the car? Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that.
Because then how old are her kids?
It didn't ever say
how old her kids were. They were young enough?
They were not young. They were old.
Okay. Because I'm like.
They were older.
Frolicking around the house, you know.
Well, you got to think. Well, we can do some simple math real quick. Her kids were born in 79 and 81. And Bob was murdered in 2004. Over 20. They were over 20. They were out of the house.
But I don't know if they had, maybe they had keys. Maybe they might pop up and then be like, dad.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
That's pretty true.
Mm-hmm.
Great question.
Thank you.
Huh. I didn't even think about that. So anyways, yes. So they did find Bob's body wrapped in a tarp with duct tape in Nancy's vehicle. They also recovered the murder weapon, which was wrapped up with Bob in the tarp as well.
She was definitely going to dispose of all that. Where? I don't know.
She definitely was.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next day after Nancy had killed Bob, she went to Home Depot and purchased the duct tape, a tarp, bleach, and other household cleaning products.
What day was this?
The day after she killed Bob.
So Tuesday.
Tuesday.
So it's more likely. All right. So I would say like Tuesday. She cleaned him up. So I would say he was in the car Tuesday at the latest.
Tuesday after work, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was caught at Home Depot again trying to. Well, actually, she did succeed.
Uh-huh.
But it was on recording. Stealing a hatchet from the store and returning it with the receipt she had used to buy the first hatchet the day before the murder.
So the hatchet that she hit him with was new.
The hatchet she hit him with was bought the day before she hit him with the hatchet.
Huh. So I'm wondering, and then you said she bought another one and then tried to return.
She stole another one and tried to return it with the receipt from the first one.
So what she was trying to do, she probably cleaned that first hatchet.
Yeah.
And she was trying to return it. So she was like, I ain't got a hatchet.
No, I don't have it. What are you talking about?
There's no blood in it. Here. Look, test it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what it? No.
What?
I was going to say, what if she stole the clean one and then returned the dirty one?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Well, she got caught.
Yeah.
Therefore, that leads me into what the police and the prosecutor actually think happened on that day in May of 2004.
Okay.
So this leads us to the defense and the trial. Nancy told the police from jump that she was an abused woman. She just couldn't take the abuse anymore, and it was all in self-defense. However, the evidence pointed police in a different direction. And, you know, there are some cases that you hear and you're like, that evidence just doesn't sound right. And then it's like, as the pieces come together, you're like, oh, yeah, okay. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they obviously, like, saw the hatchet and stuff like that. But then, like, as they dug deeper into what happened and, like, analyzing blood and analyzing where cleaning supplies was showing up in the luminol sprays and things like that, you know, the story kind of got told. The police believe that Bob never attacked Nancy and that it was her that attacked him. They claim that Bob was blindsided in the kitchen with the axe. That sounds like Clue.
Yeah.
It was Bob in the kitchen with the axe.
Yep.
That's a Clue game. Huh. So they claim that Bob was blindsided in the kitchen with the axe, hitting him 16 times.
In the kitchen.
Yes. Okay. She then pulled his body into the garage where she then stabbed him with a knife 21 times.
Oh, my God.
She then, according to the police and finding more evidence after hitting him with the hatchet and stabbing him with a knife, she then beat him with a sledgehammer.
A sledgehammer?
Yes. This woman used three different murder weapons.
That is a very aggressive kill.
Very. And
if he didn't abuse you, then what was the reason?
And then, okay, so if he didn't abuse you, what was the reason? But if he did abuse her, this overkill
makes
does
sense.
Explain. Yeah, sure. Abused women when they finally, the cases that I have followed where the women were legitimately abused, but like had police reports and had domestic violence reports and had bruise pictures and had hospital records. Yeah. Like they kept evidence of proof. But by the time they did kill their like partner or their lover or whatever you want to call the person, it was overkill because there was so much pent up anger.
Yeah.
So.
I see that.
Mary's going to bed, guys.
Good night, Mary.
Good night.
Good night. Mwah.
You can hear her footsteps. Let her wait. Let her get to the back of the room. Okay. So I guess like that's where I am kind of like, okay, if she wasn't abused, then this is definitely hatred and just overkill. But if she was abused, this is hatred and overkill because of the abuse.
Yes, exactly.
Huh. Yeah. So in November of 2004, Nancy's trial began. Nancy admitted to killing her husband, Bob. She never denied killing Bob, but she claimed from day one that she did it in self-defense. The prosecutor took a different approach, stating that Nancy killed Bob out of anger, saying that Bob was planning to leave Nancy first with no second thought. So, like, the couple was talking about divorce, but ultimately, like, Bob was going to leave Nancy. That's what the prosecutor's saying.
But she already had this other condo set up. So it's just like.
It's all. And claimed that Nancy just like could not take this idea of him being the one that leaves first and killed him. It was also assumed by Nancy that Bob was having an affair with a woman named Julie Dumbleton. And again, these last names feel made up at this point, but these are their last names.
Yeah, that's a lot right there.
Mm-hmm.
When you said that, I thought she was going to say Dumbledore.
Yeah, no, Dumbledore.
Okay, that's cool.
Yep. When this alleged affair was investigated, though, it came out to be not true, and this was just some idea that Nancy, like, concocted in her head. Yes. However, it is assumed and brought to court that Nancy and Bob had a fight, and it was then Nancy left the home. So they're saying, okay, here's what they're saying. Sunday is when Nancy bought the axe, the hatchet. So what they're saying is that the court brought up that Nancy and Bob had a fight Sunday. Mm-hmm. Nancy left the home Sunday and went to Home Depot and purchased her murder weapon with killing Bob already on her mind.
Seems about accurate.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it convenient that you bought a hatchet the day before you killed your husband?
Yep. And it's the same thing you killed him with. I mean, among other things. It's a little weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little suspicious.
Mm-hmm. A lot of suspicious.
Uh-huh. And then went back and tried to steal one.
Yeah. Because she was trying to get rid of the evidence because she was going to return the dirty one. Yeah.
Here's my thing. If you are in an abusive relationship and you end up murdering your abuser, I feel like if it was if this is like legitimately happening in your life and you're being abused and you murder your abuser, you would feel confident enough in calling 911 and saying, look, I just did this. You wouldn't go to Home Depot and buy a tarp, bleach, and duct tape.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I feel like once everything settled down, you know, after, you know, the kill, that you would be like, essentially like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And be like, I can't believe I did this. I have to call 911. Not like, oh my God, I have to get rid of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Knowing you're going to be suspect number one in the death of your husband.
Absolutely. 100%.
100%. Now, during the trial, Nancy stood firm in the fact that it was self-defense and Bob was an abusive man. She actually took the stand in her own trial, which you don't see often in murder trials, but her defense knew it was the only way to convince the jury of her story. Mm-hmm. Now, they do this, and haha, James, I just said doo-doo. They do this in abuse trials because they want to, like, get the abused person on the stand and have them convict the jury with emotion, right?
Yeah.
And like, so I can see that strategy here. And that they kind of said that later on. They're like, well, the only way to really convince them is to have Nancy describe the abuse. Mm-hmm. She told the jury that she and Bob got into, quote, the grand finale of all fights. That's literally what she called it. Mm. That wordage as a juror would be weird to me.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like grand finale, like you named it.
I would have an issue, but I also...
Go ahead.
Let me replay that. I would have an issue because I think that, like, I hold close to words. Like, words are my, like, love language.
Yeah.
So, like, I read into words a lot.
Yeah.
And so, like, I would be deciphering everything someone said on the stand.
Oh, 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, she called it the grand finale of all fights because she had planned to leave Bob. So, now it's her leaving first, not Bob. She then explained in detail the struggle she and Bob had that ultimately led to his death, like the physical struggle that they had that ultimately led to his death. Nancy said, once on the stand, quote, I fought like my life depended on it because it did. She then added, quote, if I didn't kill him, he would have killed me. That's how it usually ends for abused women. And she's not wrong.
So... Did she have any defensive wounds on her?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
There was no medical, like, reports, like, of hospital visits or anything like that either.
Okay. Because she's saying she's fighting like her life depended on it, but you don't have any type of wounds or bruises.
Which would support the sneak attack that the police say happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know why you're going with all of this, claiming like, oh, it was the grand finale of fights. I was fighting for my life when there's literally no evidence on your body that he was attacking you.
Yeah. But of course they pulled an expert in battered woman syndrome up on the stand, Lenora Walker. Lenora Walker testified for Nancy, so for the defense, but she testified in a general sense because she was not allowed by the courts to actually interview and evaluate Nancy herself. So she basically took this stance with a general battered woman approach, like battered woman syndrome approach, like what it's like for battered women and what this entails and what trauma this brings and things like that. So she just kind of spoke in a general sense.
Okay.
For the defense. Mm-hmm. The jury, however, wasn't buying Nancy's story, and she was convicted of first degree premeditated murder.
100%. Yep.
In this, which that's honestly is kind of shocking because I don't know. I feel like, well, Jodi Arias got Arias. I just listened to her. I just listened to that podcast the other day. Jodi Arias got a life sentence, you know, and she claimed self-defense too, but hers was like completely bogus.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so was this one.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, if you are listening, you're like, I'm buying it. That's fine. That's your opinion. I personally did not feel like the evidence matched her stories. And two, I feel like I don't have children, but I feel like when one of your sons is like, this never happened, why the heck are you on stand right now lying? It's kind of weird to me.
Yeah. And then the other son, like, saying that you saw it, but, like, what did you see? Or are you just exaggerating something in your mind that was bigger than what it, that wasn't as
right, because all couples fight.
Yeah.
So did you assume that just a regular marital spat was abuse, or did you actually physically see him put his hands on Nancy?
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, however, in the state of Michigan, a first-degree premeditated murder conviction is an automatic life sentence.
Dang.
Yes. So there is, like, no way out of it unless your conviction gets, like, overturned or lessened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nancy read a statement after the verdict stating, quote, a miscarriage of justice, unquote, and then called it a, quote, tragic mistake. And then she told the jury that she would be appealing. Well, Nancy, what person convicted of murder doesn't try to appeal?
Mm-hmm. You can try, but you probably won't succeed, girlfriend.
Well.
Oh, shucks.
However, at sentencing, Judge John McDonald took some type of pity on Nancy and reduced her conviction to second degree murder. Literally, to me, it feels like he put a middle finger to the jury and was like, I don't care what y'all think. Yeah. I'm going to do this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, wow. That's kind of how I saw it. Yeah.
It's crazy that you have the ability to do that.
The power.
Yeah. Like, I feel like if the jury says something, what's the point of the jury if you're just going to change everything? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Exactly. So he did lessen her sentence to second degree murder. And he said this was the case. He said this case was the most troubling and tragic case of his 12 years as a judge. He believed the jury didn't take it seriously and said they believed that she was guilty before the trial even started. So basically he was like, when she walked in, the jury set their minds to her already being guilty. Like, they didn't even allow the evidence to, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, he just kind of felt like, and that's like, there's a term for that. Prejudging?
Yeah,
that's not the term I'm looking for. There's something else, but I can't think of what it is.
Preconceived notions.
Maybe. He said, yep.
Sorry.
He said this decision was based on the lack of evidence to support the conviction of first-degree murder. He told Nancy, quote, I don't doubt for a minute that you were physically and emotionally abused. I don't think the jury doubted it either.
I don't understand.
Yeah. So, He went on to say that the jurors didn't believe the abuse was so bad it warranted murder. He encouraged her to, so like, they believed that, he claims that the jurors believed she was abused, but that the abuse wasn't bad enough to warrant killing Bob.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's what he's saying.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just like, abuse is abuse. You don't know how it's psychological. I just don't know.
But there's no evidence of the abuse. So I'm, I just.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So he went on to encourage Nancy to make a name for herself and her story.
Oh, Lord.
He said that she should somehow bring awareness and encourage women to leave their abusers. And I 100% agree. Like, there are amazing foundations out there, nonprofits that help women in abusive situations, and they are amazing. I don't think that Nancy should be in charge of one of those.
No. She mm-hmm. should not be the spokesperson.
Yeah. However, although Judge John McDonald wanted to lessen Nancy's charge, the State of Michigan Court of Appeals said no.
Oh, let's go.
And overturned this conviction
let's go.
That Judge McDonald put into place. It was literally like, I can just imagine them just being girls and being like, not going to happen here. Judge McDonald being like, yes, so I said so. I don't know. Like, so the jury convicted her of first degree murder, premeditated.
Yep.
John McDonald was like, nope, I don't agree with that. I'm going to lessen it to second degree murder.
Yep.
And then the state of Michigan and was like, no, we don't agree with that.
Yep.
It's going back to first degree.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
It's a lot of back and forth, but like,
it's a lot of back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nancy Seaman was convicted and sentenced just as we heard. However, just 5 years later, her conviction was overturned again by a United States federal judge named Bernard A. Friedman on November 4th of 2010.
Like, what is she doing to these men to get them to...
put a spell on you, something hocus pocus
for real, because like, ma'am, there's no evidence of your abuse. You claim that you was self-defense, but you have no defense wounds, so what are you even saying?
The police didn't even visit your house for domestic charges. Like, I just feel like, I don't know, I'm really proud of my last line in this case, so just bear with me.
Okay.
Bernard A. Friedman based this decision on the idea and, quote, fact that her attorneys, Nancy's attorneys that once represented her were not given the opportunity to, quote, fully develop their theory of battered woman syndrome. He stated that Nancy be put back on trial within 4 months or released from prison.
And which happened?
However, not all in the judicial system agreed with this, and there was some tension amongst this choice.
Mm.
On January 19th, 2011, another federal judge with the Michigan Attorney General ordered a, quote, well, this is what it's called, but I put quotations, ordered a stay of proceedings, which means a ruling by a court to stop or suspend a proceeding or trial temporarily and sometimes even indefinitely.
So that pretty much overturned it again?
It overturned it again. So Friedman said on November 4th, 2010. So November 4th, 2010,
yeah.
He like ruled something. I don't know what you would call it. Like, what is it called when they don't feel like your attorneys were equipped or something? Anyways, it was the appeal based off like her attorneys. He used that like appeal.
Okay.
And he said that he thought Nancy should be back on trial within 4 months or released.
Okay.
Well, in January 19th, 2011, so Friedman was in November of 2010.
Mm.
And then, so it wasn't even 4 months. It had not even been 4 months.
Yeah.
And they literally put her folder at the top of the stack so that they get this taken care of. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no way, Jose. And they stamped it with a stay of proceedings, which suspended this whole back and forth crap.
Okay. Okay.
And Nancy is still serving her life sentence the original trial at the Women's Huron Valley Correctional Facility.
Let's go. Let's go.
However.
Oh, good. You got a lot of howevers in this case.
I got a lot of howevers, guys. Nancy made some serious headlines. However, her case is still widely used to discuss the ineffectiveness of legal counsel for battered women, and some are even fighting on her behalf for clemency, which is a mechanism for granting a person convicted relief from a court-ordered sentence.
Yep. I've had a couple cases where they talked about that.
Clemency?
Uh-huh. But I don't think it's warranted. Like, I'm just stuck on the evidence part. Like, I feel like if you were being abused, especially if you claim you were being abused that day that you hatcheted your husband to death, that there should have been some evidence that he was indeed putting his hands on you that day. And there was none.
Yeah. And you, she was a very little woman.
Yeah. You bought a hatchet the day before.
Mm-hmm.
You killed him with said hatchet. You try to steal another hatchet so you could probably return the one that you cleaned. So it was out of your possession. Yeah. That's a lot of premeditativeness going on here.
It was.
And if it's premeditated because you were abused, and if you were really abused, really and truly, I'm sorry that that happened to you. I truly am. But the math isn't mathing on this one. The evidence is not lining
up. It's not mathing. And I do think that even though being in an abusive relationship, it causes tremendous amount of trauma. I mean, James still says things today that like trigger me, and he has to remind me like he is not my ex. Yeah. You know, like it does cause a lot of trauma, but I have been around and known women that were in abusive relationships, and they kept some form of documentation. And I don't mean like they took pictures on their iPhones and stuff like that, but I mean like they would keep a journal, or they would email themselves, or they would take pictures on their phone. Like, I took pictures of my bruises on my phone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because it was timed and date stamped.
Yes.
And it's, I don't feel like Nancy, and if this was going on since you guys got married in 1972,
yeah,
and you said that the abuse started right when you guys got married.
Yep.
1972 to 2004. And
I get it. 1972 was like back in the day. There were no iPhones, but like they were still
journals.
You still could have done something. There's no way that you were just going on with your life and had no coping mechanisms for this for this trauma. Like none.
Well, they didn't even call any of your friends mm-hmm. to the stand. Like, you know, I feel like people confide in someone, like at least one person. And I guess that person was Greg, her son, because that is the one who took the stand. But I don't know. The math wasn't mathing. No, I didn't get, when researching, I didn't get these similar feelings. And I know that we shouldn't base things off feelings, but I didn't get the similar feelings of an abused woman.
Yeah. The vibes weren't there.
Yeah. So, as you can see, people can't seem to agree with whether or not Nancy was an abused woman or if she was just a killer. This is still debated to this day in the court system, and if she was in fact abused and Bob was after her, then I believe self-defense is an adequate defense. Mm-hmm. If Bob was not an abusive man and Nancy had a snapped moment, then I believe she should serve her time that was given to her.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and unfortunately, at the end of the day, in any relationship, you never know what goes on behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. There are only two people currently that know the truth of what happened that day, and one of those is dead.
Mm.
I thought I nailed that last one.
You did. You know, that reminds me of the Pretty Little
Pretty
Liars.
Little Liars.
Because two can't keep a secret if one of them is dead. That'll do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, Bob's not there to defend himself. Nope. To say that he didn't or did or what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't think she was abused, but that's just me.
And this is not to, I mean, everyone's going to have their opinion. And if you guys want to research this yourself and find more, you are more than welcome. But after 10 plus articles and what I found, I was not convinced. And I'm trying to research in the mind of a juror when I give my opinions. And I'm like, if I were sitting on this case,
yeah,
would I have convicted Nancy? And I probably would have said guilty.
Mm-hmm. Same.
So, I mean, she went to work after she killed her husband.
She went to work for 2 days.
And taught fourth graders.
Yeah.
What do they learn in fourth grade? Long division?
I don't know. I don't teach math.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that is the case of Nancy Seaman.
Yes, it was.
I wonder if she changed her name in prison.
No, she probably still a Seaman.
Still a Seaman?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got a toenail moon coming at you.
Yes.
Pretty soon. We got my episode coming the following Monday. Hopefully I don't sound like this, but you got to expect the unexpected.
You do.
Actually, at this point, expect the expected. I'm probably going to sound like this on my episode.
Well, we'll keep you in our thoughts, though.
Thanks. I've been drinking 2 cups of tea a day with tons of honey and lemon. My body's just like, get it out of here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But as always, the bell don't dismiss you.
We do.
So we will, see you when we see you.
Bye.
Bye.